Hi guys, and welcome to Rewatchable Episode 80, where we'll be covering Avatar The Last Airbender Season 2, Episodes 9, Bitter Work, and 10, The Library. As always, if you want to get hold of us, our contact information is as follows. Our email address is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is @RE_watchable. And you can also comment on this post on hyperball.com. And I am joined today, and I being Danya, by Karen, Michal, and Brittany. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
My phone temporarily distracted me because I didn't realize I hadn't put it on mute. So I'm going to do that now. There's no more distractions. There we go.
Yeah, no more distractions.
None. Not at all. Of note, for these two episodes, I'm going to be peppering through my dad's thoughts of these two episodes as an Avatar newbie, because I was at home with my parents this weekend, and to be able to watch the two episodes, I did so on their television where they had to watch along with me. My dad, having never seen anything to do with Avatar whatsoever, had a very interesting reaction to it, and one I was not expecting. So, on that note, we'll get right into the episode. So, Chapter 9, Bitter Work. Do we know who wrote the synopsis for this one? Was this Ariana or was this Mitch?
If it's short, it's probably Ariana.
Poor Mitch. We always make fun of him when he's not here.
Love you, Mitch. Yeah,
we make fun of him when he's here as well.
That's true.
He's the new Karen.
Oh, thank God. I need a replacement.
Amazing. Right. So the synopsis for this episode is, in this episode, Toph sets out to teach Aang earthbending properly. When Aang isn't taking to Toph's militant attitude, Katara suggests a more rainbow and butterflies approach. Aang and Katara have brief waterbending sexy times. Finally, through a man out of view like montage, Toph does just that. Meanwhile, Sokka gets stuck staring at a baby saber-toothed moose lion cub in a crack in the earth. Aang arrives just in time to fend off Mama Moose Lion Saber, and Toph finally congratulates Aang on facing a difficult obstacle head-on. Iroh wakes up from Feelsy Lu Tan dreams to Zuko's nasty tea. Zuko tries to learn how to generate lightning, but his Wingardium Leviosas only explode. Instead, Zuko tries to redirect lightning, but ends up dramatically crying cliffside while the universe crashes down around him via vicious lightning bolts. Dun dun dun!
Oh, yeah, Zuko. Definitely, Ariana.
Oh, Zuko! Oh, no! I didn't get to have all the Zuko feels like last week, so I get to have them this week, as well as Iroh feels.
So, all the Iroh feels.
Oh, so many Iroh feels. So, we got to see a little sample of what Toph's teaching style is like. What did you guys think?
I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but for being so tiny, she's got, I don't know, a lot of anger inside of her.
Yeah, she was exactly what I was expecting, without a doubt. I was like, this girl is going to be the complete opposite of Katara and maybe push Aang off a cliff, which was really close. She almost killed him with a boulder instead.
But not the boulder.
Not the boulder, no.
As a fellow tiny person, I can say that when you get a lot of rage, there's like it kind of explodes out of you. Michal, do you agree?
Oh, I don't have any rage. I don't know.
She's just pure concentrated evil is what the conclusion that I've come to. She's so tiny and therefore the evil inside of her is so pure.
Me or Toph?
Michal.
Oh,
she likes to torture me with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. feels, and it's so mean.
It's not my fault I can see where they're going.
You're a liar.
I am not a liar. If you guys want to know what the heck we're talking about at about, I don't know, 10 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesdays, go on mine and Karen's Twitter feed and you'll see what we're talking about.
Pretty much.
You want to give your personal Twitter account so that people can check it out if you're an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan?
Sure. I'm Ink as Rain, and I basically exclusively tweet about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a little embarrassing.
I talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. a lot, too. Mine's Karen _ Rott, R-O-U-G-H-T.
There we go.
So professional.
So, if you guys want more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. feelings, you know where to go.
And even if you don't watch it, which I don't, it's fun anyway to watch them.
It's very true. It's a really good thing for me on like being on an opposite time zone to wake up to after I've watched the episode. So,
Maybe we'll start Agents of Hype at some point. Oh, actually, never mind. I forgot.
Is that a good time to plug?
Are we allowed to plug it yet?
Well, it's announced and it's got a Twitter account. And,
oh, it is?
And it was announced on Hype, so.
I didn't know that.
Well, in that case.
In that case, if you do like superheroes, we do have a podcast that is starting up. The first episode goes live this week at some point, and it's called Hero Hype. So if you want to follow along, you can follow their Twitter account, which is at Hero Hype Podcast. So, that's coming up this week. And with that really handy plug for a different podcast out of the way, back to Toph's teaching style. So Katara obviously tells her to try being nicer because Aang needs a gentle touch sometimes. Do you think that, you know, one or either of those teaching styles is a better way to do it? Or do you think they each have their merits?
I definitely think each have their merits, especially when you think about the different elements, because water is very smooth and flowing, and it makes sense that Katara would be a gentle teacher, whereas earthbending is, you know, it's solid and it's hard, and I feel like Toph and her personality just really match up with that. And so I think that, yeah, they are both really effective. And if you think about any sort of teacher, when you have a teacher who really gets on your case about everything and they're really not mean to you, but very strict, the one day that they congratulate you on something, it means so much more because they don't do that a whole lot. Whereas somebody who's always consistently nice to you and is very encouraging, the day when they're like, look, you're doing something wrong, get it done right, like, you're gonna listen to them because you're not used to that. So I think both of their styles are really worthwhile.
Yeah, and I think Iroh's little speech later on in the episode about all the different elements and the way that they work, it was really helpful to have that against Toph and Katara in another story because it played out well with their teaching styles.
Yeah, and I love the idea that, like, I mean, I've discussed this at length with some friends, and like, I think at a certain point you can say that Toph is not the best teacher, you know, like, she doesn't have a lot of patience and she doesn't have a lot of empathy, you know, but she's also 12, you know, and has a really strong personality and has always kind of, you know, I think because some things are so difficult for her, she has so little like sympathy for people who find other things difficult because she's been able to become so great in earthbending. And, you know, I love that it like reflects her personality, and it's not like, and I love that she's a girl and is able to be like, no, I'm just going to kick your ass. Like, learn if you learn, you know.
And I like that she does that to Aang because Aang is so silly and juvenile sometimes that he really does need somebody like Toph to kind of kick him in the butt every once in a while.
Karen, I'm just going to tell you, I don't care myself, but I know people get annoyed when people mispronounce names. So it's like, Toph.
Gotcha.
I don't care. I don't think it's a big deal. But
Toph.
I'm going to say that every time now. Toph.
Just play really, a foghorn really, sound.
Really interestingly, when we split away from Toph and Aang kind of doing their lesson to Katara and Aang doing theirs, my dad's exact words were, huh, Arrow Guy has the hots for the water one, right?
Oh, yeah.
him having never watched an episode before. So, yeah, he's apparently a Katang shipper. What can I say? No accounting for taste, even in your own family.
Well, I mean, when you're waterbending, you have to take off all your clothes, apparently, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess they don't really have a lot of outfits kind of going for them. So you kind of imagine, you know, you either take off all their clothes or they get those ones wet and then they're just.
But Aang can air dry them.
And Katara can waterbend the water out of it.
That's very true, actually. Damn it. Plot hole resolved.
This might have just been the animators being like, can we draw them in something else?
Yeah.
Like, for 5 seconds.
That makes sense.
Please. we also get to see the little saber-toothed moose lion cub. So what's cuter, that or turtle ducks?
Turtle ducks.
Okay, but
saber-toothed moose lion cub.
The thing is, though, it's like both adorable, but Fufu Cuddly Poops has a name. And turtle ducks, love them, and symbol of my heart, though they are, do not have names.
We could name them. We could name our own turtle duck.
I don't know why they've never made a turtle duck plushie. Like,
oh my god!
I'm gonna Google this. Maybe somebody's made one on Etsy or something.
Etsy has everything, so. Yeah, so Aang knows earthbending now. So do we know, like, do you have an idea in your mind how we'll be able to tell when he moves from kind of knowing earthbending to being a master of earthbending?
Maybe if he has to fight Toph and he beats her or something.
Yeah,
like if there's sparring.
Be when Katara is in mortal danger, and he'll be able to like rip him out and apart.
Well, the thing is though, like what I really like about this is that, and this goes to like a theory that I've had for a long time that like each element has its like kind of parallel to not just another element, but elements that you wouldn't like think that it has. And like I think there's really something to the idea that Aang is never going to be amazing at, you know, at earthbending. Like, I mean, he'll be like a master, like he'll be able to do it and very good at it, but I don't ever think that's going to be his strongest element, you know, because it is the opposite of air. And that's, I love that this episode kind of takes the time to, you know, explain that in different ways. So I mean, personally, I don't ever think that Aang will be as great as Toph or, you know, whatever. That's my theory. I think we can, when we're done, actually, I think it's an interesting thing to discuss. Like, if Aang does actually master all the elements. Well, I mean, yes, he masters them, but, like, whatever. By the end of the series. You know what I mean?
As far as, obviously, kind of moving on to firebending, because that's obviously going to be the next one. He had so much trouble finding Toph in the first place. If we do start moving towards him having to learn firebending, because obviously with the next episode, we now have a new deadline for when he needs to become a master by. How are you going to find a firebending teacher? Do you think?
I was hoping it'd be Iroh.
I was hoping it would be Zuko.
Well, I think Zuko still needs to work on his patience.
Yeah.
And I think Iroh. I want Iroh to teach him. I didn't know I wanted that until this episode, actually. I have it written down in like my notes. I was like, I want Iroh to teach Aang.
Aww.
That would be fun.
That'd be so cute.
It would. Aww. I love Iroh anyway. Iroh should just do everything. Iroh for king of the world. He should have been Fire Lord.
I know. Or should he have, given what you saw last week?
No, I still think he would have been a good Fire Lord.
Yeah, after the whole Luten thing. But before, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
That little clip of Iroh and Zuko alone really, I don't know, makes me think a lot of things.
Okay. Speaking of Luten, we get a flashback to Daddy Iroh. And then you get all the feelings. But the other really, really cool thing was, and thanks to Aliana for this, I'm guessing it was Aliana, because I completely forgot about this, but obviously Katara's voice actress, Mae Whitman, voices Iroh's deceased son.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely did not.
Did anyone catch that? No?
No, absolutely not. I'm lucky I catch half the stuff that I do.
Yeah, you might notice through, like, this season, and if we do eventually go on to do Korra, like, you'll notice voices more and more, like, people kind of reprising roles and do voicing other characters. It's really, really cool when you catch it. But the other... Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to give a shout-out to Jack DeSena, King of My Heart, who I think does an amazing job. I think this is some of his best work as Sokka. I love that guy.
Yep. Just all the voice actors through Avatar and Korra, are just, they're so good. Mm-hmm. So, so good at what they do. Yeah.
And Jack DeSena is really good-looking now, by the way.
Are you saying he wasn't before?
I don't know. He was like a teenager back then, so.
So when we jump back from Luten's, the flashback with Luten, it obviously kind of fades in on Zuko's face, like hovering over him. And it's a very, very obvious kind of parallel that, you know, Zuko's kind of Iroh's pseudo son now. So how did you feel about that little scene?
All the feelings. Is there one that I'm supposed to have over another? Because it was just, I was not prepared for it.
I don't think you're ever prepared for feelings about Zuko and Iroh. I think they're one of my favorite relationships through the entire series.
As soon as I saw them both, I was like, oh, this is going to hurt.
Are you glad to see them reunited?
I am, and I can tell that Zuko still has some issues to work out, but Iroh is so patient, and even when, like, Zuko runs off at the end, I was just like, oh, Iroh, it's okay, he'll come back.
Yeah.
He's like a boomerang. That's what I was
Yeah.
A zoomerang.
Episode title.
Yeah, I just typed it in.
But that's seriously, like, that's what I love about this. And I don't know if this is, like, part of, like, if it was played in at this episode, but Aaron Ahaz, who wrote this episode and is one of my, is my favorite writer Korra, he's not a writer on Avatar, along with his wife, Elizabeth Ahaz, who wrote Zuko Alone, which is awesome. So shout out to them, who are definitely not listening to the podcast, but if you are, you're awesome. Anyway, so I think he said to Mike and Brian, which I remember this from the Nerdist interview that they said, okay, I won't phrase it exactly because it's a little bit of a spoiler, but basically, like, don't make Zuko's arc as and his behavior as obvious as you think it can be, you know, like let him mess up, you know, a bunch of times. And I think that's what he does in this episode, because you're so, you know, like, he's drinking tea and he's like like Dante Bosco does that like the calm Zuko kind of voice, and it's like, ah, oh, this is all, you know, he's really making steps. And then no, he still gets really, really frustrated and is like, strike me down, oh world, you know, at the end. And I love that he, you know, continually regresses like that, because it's, he's a messed up kid, and it makes sense. Like, it's so frustrating to watch, but it makes sense that he like can't just like insta absorb this wisdom and be like, okay, I got it, I'm good, you know.
Yeah, and I think I like that a lot about him, which is a good thing. I'm not annoyed by it, which I was kind of expecting to be at the end when I saw him leave. I was like, you know what, it makes sense.
It's and much it's okay more if it's realistic annoying. That way too.
Yeah, exactly. It's realistic. That's a good word.
It is, because nobody's perfect. Every single character has their flaws on this show as well, which is really nice, is that nobody is really upheld as being like the perfect person, whether it's stuff that they've done in their past or whether it's stuff that they're doing in their present. They all have like their flaws. So, and that's really, really refreshing, especially in a kids show, which doesn't always show it and will sometimes sugarcoat things quite a lot. It's nice to see them fail and mess up and pick themselves back up after that. And sometimes it takes a while and sometimes it happens faster. And I mean, that's the same for a lot of people in real life. You know, sometimes you'll get over a stumbling block like really, really quickly, and sometimes it'll take you ages to get to pick yourself back up again. And I love that throughout the whole show, and even into Korra as well.
Well, something that I think, I don't know, maybe because I saw in the comments there were some rumblings about Katara going on, but I think that maybe the reason why it's a little bit harder to sympathize with Katara's flaws, this is just a theory of mine, but like, because her flaws are not like a direct kind of outgrowth of her experiences so much. Like, they are, but you have to dig a little deeper for that. Does that make sense? I mean,
all it's making me think is the Dig a Little Deeper song from Princess and the Frog.
I never saw Princess and the Frog.
It's really good.
It's good.
Yeah. Hole exposed in my, yeah. But anyway, so I mean, because I'm somebody who gets frustrated with Katara too, and you know, I think that she can be bossy and, you know, annoying. Like in this episode, it's like, Katara, like, there are different teaching methods. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, let's just, you know, but if you teach him the way I teach him, you know, it'll all be great. And but at the same time, like, you, like, I think we're supposed to understand why she feels that way and like how these things develop.
I'll admit I get kind of frustrated with Katara a lot as well, but I think a lot of the reason why I get frustrated with Katara is a lot of like the little nuances to her character is something that I recognize from kind of myself before I grew up, and how I used to like talk to my little brother specifically, not to other people, but specifically to my little brother as like the elder child kind of thing. And I think that's why I kind of get frustrated with her the most, is because I see that as a characteristic I had to overcome with my brother and how I treated my brother. And then, because we used to butt heads a lot when we were kids, and I used to very much treat him as like as in I knew better kind of thing. So yeah, I think that's why I kind of get a bit like, no, you can't do that to people, it ruins relationships, you've got to stop that. So kind of like in a I'm making like a gesture at the, like as if I'm shaking someone. no
well, I think that's also, you know, like that's probably why Katara gets is a little more controversial, because it's easy, and I think this happens with a lot of fandoms, so it's hardly unique to Avatar, but I think that characters whose backstory is like, you know, difficult and you understand where they're coming from, but like you never actually have to deal with that in real life yourself, like, a banished prince whose father abused him and is now a nasty piece of crap for a while. And, you know, like, we don't have to deal with people like that. We do have to deal with people who are, like myself, older siblings and are like, hey, you know, like, why don't you do this? And like, I really know better than you. Listen to me. And, like, so, you know, and those things do come from insecurity or desire to keep everybody safe and therefore control them or whatever. But because they are things that we are much more familiar with, I think it's a lot harder for us to go, you know, like, oh, I empathize with that, as opposed to being like, no, you're so familiar and annoying, go away. So that's my thesis on Katara hate. And it's funny that I'm doing this because I'm really not a Katara fan, but
yeah,
I don't hate her, but
yeah, I don't particularly hate her either. I'm not a massive Katara fan. I don't hate her, but I don't love her. I'm kind of on her for the most part. Funnily enough, I won't say that because that will ruin something else. I'm going to move on. I will say it to Mikal at some other point.
Okay.
But, yeah, I was going to, like, big spoiler then, and then kind of caught myself. Oh, no. So, Iroh, going back to him, and a little bit off from, like, waterbenders and Katara, he actually developed the technique to redirect lightning from studying waterbenders. So,
the boss.
You know, yeah. Obviously we see, like, a massive development in Iroh's character here as well, in that, you know, he goes from how he was before he lost Lu-Ten to how we see him now, where he understands the importance of the unity of the elements and even being able to learn from them to better himself as a bender and better other people. Do you think that's going to now put Zuko maybe on a path where he may eventually become a better bender than his sister?
I hope so. God, I hope so.
Or at least equally matched.
That's a good question.
Thank you. Should we move on to favorite scenes? Do you think? Or do you want to talk a little bit more about Iroh?
Wait, Sokka, though. Sokka in the thing. We have to just take a moment and appreciate how unbelievably amazing and hilarious that entire thing was.
I love Sokka so much.
I was actually going to let, because Mikal has got Sokka down as the favorite scene. So
I know. I just wanted everybody to have their chance to be like, yes, okay. This is amazing.
I figured we'd all jump all over that. I mean, I was going to. I don't know about anyone else, but I was going to go all over it. Do we want to do it now instead?
No, we can, your thing. We can do it your way. That's cool.
Okay. Let's go to favorite scenes then. So we'll start with Karen.
Okay. My favorite scene was when Toph was listening to Katara and eventually used positive reinforcement. And those two butt heads a lot. And I like how in the end they kind of both compromised. And I don't know if they had this like little secret thing going on in the background where Toph was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to really basically destroy him before I build him back up, or if she kind of just planned it out on her own this way. But either way, I really liked in the end how she did use some positive encouragement for Aang and how well it worked for him.
See, I might actually dispute that. I don't know if she did use positive reinforcement. I think she was just kind of like, I think she waited for the opportunity that was going to teach him the best, you know, because she never ever coddles him or tells him that he's good or whatever when she doesn't feel that he is, you know, which is kind of what Katara was saying, right? Like, oh, if he does it wrong, just like give him a gentle nudge, and like Toph does not do gentle nudges.
Yeah, that's true. I mostly mean at the end when she did praise him, how far that went for him and his confidence.
True.
Brittany, let's do yours next.
Okay, mine was when you see Zuko making Iroh tea and it comes out really bad. And he's like, I hope I made it the way you like it. That moment just like was a knife to my heart.
Yeah, that was. But poor Zuko and his failed tea. He probably oversteeped it. It was probably really bitter.
And I love he's when he pours just him like, more.
Yeah,
and he like throws just, it out the window.
Yeah, he was probably just sitting there brewing it, waiting for Iroh to wake up, just like, I've got tea, I'm leaving. And it's probably been there for hours, and it's just over that little flame, and you're like, oh, that's going to be terrible.
So whether or not Zuko gets better at bending, he does not, I'm going to spoil this, he does not get any better at making tea.
I'll do my favorite scene and then we can jump all over Mikal's. So mine was when basically just Iroh teaching Zuko how to redirect lightning through his body. I just love like the way that he was explaining it to him and the way that he was like outlining all the elements and the way he was making him go over and over again the path that it should take and kind of saying the importance of like gathering it in your stomach and not directing it through your heart kind of thing. I just the whole thing from start to finish, just so perfect. Absolutely love Iroh as a teacher.
That's why he would be such a good teacher for Aang, because he can explain all of the elements to him. It would be so good.
Yes, he could. Michal?
Yeah, so my favorite scene is literally like Sokka's entire plot line in this episode. Like when he's like walking around and like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, you're made of meat, so like nothing personal, but whatever. And just like I'm not sure. There are a couple of Avatar episodes that I think were my first Avatar episode that I saw, like when my brother would watch it on Nickelodeon and I would just come in and out. But I think this one, like, this is my, like, most likely first episode, and I remember, like, aside from, like, being like, oh, why is there a blind girl in the show? Like, that's allowed on TV? On kids' TV? You know what I mean? Like, not expecting something like that to be on TV, but also just finding this, like, shockingly funny out of the corner of my eye, and then when I watched it again, just, like, you know, the dialogue and the delivery and just, like, the whole arc of it, like, Sokka has his own tiny little plot line here that doesn't, like, it's not like it's a major thing, but it just adds so much beauty and richness to everything that is Sokka that I can't get over it. I love it so much.
Sokka, the meat and sarcasm guy.
And that's a moment of honesty, too. That's just like, look, whatever, I'm not a bender, I'm not whatever, but, like, darn it, I eat meat. That's like Joey from Friends, but way more intelligent. Tribbiani's eat.
Oh no, now I'm like casting them in my head as like people from Friends. No, I'm gonna move on because I'll just be stuck there forever on like a loop, just like, and who's this person? Yeah. Favorite lines, Karen, go quickly.
Mine was between Zuko and Iroh when Zuko says, I know what you're going to say. She's my sister, and I should be trying to get along with her. And Iroh just goes, no, she's crazy, and she needs to go down.
It's so true. Mikal, what was your favorite?
My favorite was when Sokka is in the crack and like toward the end of this ordeal and he's like, okay, karma person or whoever's in charge of this stuff, which by the way, I was like, whoa, meta show, whoa. If I can just get out of this situation alive, I will give up meat and sarcasm, okay? Ow, that's all I got. It's pretty much my whole identity. Sokka, the meat and sarcasm guy. And I love it. I can't even tell you.
Aang, oh, just like shows up right at the end of that. Love it.
He's like, I'm just going to discuss this, and Sokka's like, oh yeah, take your time, that's cool.
Brittany, what was your favorite?
Mine was in the beginning of the episode where Sokka's sleeping and Aang's really excited about starting earthbending and Toph comes along and she's like, sorry, Snoozles, we'll do our earthbending as quietly as we can.
Yeah. Mine was at the start of Sokka's journey with Fufu Cuddly Poops, where he's like, you're awfully cute, but unfortunately for you, you're made of meat. I love that so much. Right, so chapter 10, the library.
So my dream vacation.
Is that not an epic music cue? Or no? Sorry.
So the for this episode is, it's vacation time, and we all know what that means, don't we? It's time to go to the library. After Katara's vacation spa presents fruitless opportunities, the gang decides to accompany Professor Zay to a mystical underground spirit library. With the mission of discovering a way to defeat Ozai, Sokka eagerly anticipates the wonders of said location. Toph stays outside with Appa and comments that the sand makes her earthbending sight fuzzy. Aang, Sokka, Katara, and Zay descend into the owl spirit Wan Shitong's library and are asked to submit some form of knowledge or intelligence unknown to the bird. Reluctantly, Wan Shitong allows the humans to explore the depths of his fox-tended bookshelves. Sokka finds a super cool planetarium room that reveals that the sun will be eclipsed by the Earth's shadows, effectively rendering all firebenders powerless for a given amount of time. Wan Shitong interrupts Sokka's awesome revelation and a chase ensues as the owl brings down the library in a rage over the simple-minded, violent nature of the human race. Above ground, Toph tries her hardest to prevent the library from falling completely underground in the shifty sand. Suddenly, nasty-looking sandbenders that the gang saw at the oasis before capture Appa. Unable to both stop the sinking of the library and the sealing of Appa at the same time, Toph makes the difficult decision to sacrifice the few for the lives of the many. Oh, Ariana. That's a reference that I'm going to shower her with love about over on Facebook later. Emulating the Chamber of Secrets Fox escape, Aang flies the others out of the library in the nick of time, sans the information-crazed Zay. However, the revelation of the pending eclipse day is overshadowed by Aang's overwhelming grief at the loss of his best friend and last tie to the airbending peoples. Cry. Single tear. Bye-bye, Appa.
So I gotta ask, do our newbies, what do you guys think is gonna happen to Appa? Are they gonna find his bones later in the desert?
No! They're gonna rescue him!
Oh, yeah?
Yes!
Okay. Oh. That's a theory.
Look, you're so... You, stop it. You're so good at sowing doubts in my mind. I don't even want to listen to you anymore. Brittany, you agree with me, right? They're going to find Appa. He'll be fine. Brittany? Brittany!
Oh my god, did the same thing.
Wait, I was talking, but I was on mute.
I was like, time. God, don't leave me.
That was awful. I was yelling at Mitch and I was on mute. Because I said if Mitch was on, he would spoil it and we would know what would happen to Alpha. I was like, why is Karen still yelling my name? I'm on mute. Okay, that makes more sense.
You think Appa's going to be fine, right?
Yes, I think Appa's going to be fine.
Okay, good. I mean, if Iroh didn't die, Appa's going to be fine. He's part of the gang.
I love that this is, like, going through stages.
Shut up. Every Tuesday, this is what happens.
It basically is, just with different names.
Yeah, pretty much.
And a little more swearing sometimes.
Yeah. That's true.
So, getting into the episode and away from Appa, if you had one place to travel in the entirety of the Avatar universe for a vacation, where would it be?
Oh, well, this library is, like, kind of up there after seeing it. But if I had to pick somewhere else, I think I would go back to the Mechanist. I would want to fly for a little while, not on Appa.
Okay. Karen?
I really like the library too, of course. I think I would want to go to like some Earth Nation habitat place just because I like nature and trees and stuff.
Well, obviously, my obvious answer should be that I want to spend all of my time with Boomy, but...
I thought you were going to say that, and you really disappointed me when you didn't.
I'm sorry, I know, but Boomy is kind of like, still kind of captured, right? So, maybe not right now.
I mean, he could probably free himself if he wanted to.
He's yeah, that's
true.
He's
just not feeling up to it. But if he met you...
This is nice. Oh, Boomy and I would have so much fun together, so many puns.
So little time. Do we have like a podcast full of Ravenclaws here? Because I kind of want to be in the library too.
I'm sorry. What part of like controlled by an egotistical, crazy owl spirit are you guys missing about this library?
Well, I'd like him somewhere. He'd fly away.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not going with the library. I would probably go with, like, honestly, I'm not crazy about the Northern Water Tribe, but I do like the Spirit Oasis. Mm. I think that sounds like a really nifty place to just, like, chill and read and hang out, so.
Cool. So we had, like, a nice mix, kind of.
Not really. You guys also have the library.
Yeah, I kind of like the owl.
We
I
had
like
backup it. Plans.
Okay, that's true.
I totally didn't have a backup plan.
I mean, another place that I would go, I can't talk to you about yet, because we haven't seen it yet. But
yeah, anywhere else
I
would want to go would be in a future episode.
Yeah, let's just say it's a seaside location with attendant.
That's the one
clothing.
I was thinking of.
Of course it was, don't you?
Amazing. So Professor Zay is kind of like Indiana Jones, except not as cool. How did you guys feel about the professor?
He was kind of blah for me. I liked his enthusiasm, even though he was a little bit crazy, but he did love learning a lot, and I did really appreciate that.
I mean, he reminded me of a lot of the anthro professors in, like, you know, college. A little crazy, a little too into knowing everything about everything, but I liked him. I didn't think anything was wrong with him.
I mean, I don't really think, as far as, like, one-off characters go, he's definitely not my favorite, but we do learn that there's a university in Bossing Se. That is something that is good to know. I mean, I guess I just kind of judge this by, like, one-off characters thinking of them, like, do I wish I'd see them again? And, like, now that Zay is, like, buried with the library, I'm like, okay. You know, I'm just not really moved.
Yeah, I'm more invested in the cabbage guy than I am the professor, so.
That's
the
true.
Mouse guy. Filming at the mouse guy, too, guys, come on. So they finally get into the library and they find its owl keeper. Were you expecting it to be an owl, like an actual giant owl spirit, or were you imagining it might have taken like a human form?
As soon as I saw the owl, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But I was not expecting it to talk. Like, when it started, like, talking, I was like, oh, okay, that's not, like, an owl makes sense, and wisdom, and there's foxes, so I was like, okay, an animal makes sense, but then it started speaking, and I was like, oh, okay, no, you should not be speaking in this terrifying voice.
Okay. What, I mean, speaking of voice acting, I don't know who does this, but, like, they do such a good job with casting the spirits, too, like, you know, like, just thinking back to Ko and, like, this guy, it's, you know, they're really, you know, like, obviously it's, like, super weird that there's, like, a crazy beetle with a million faces and a huge owl that talks and reads books. But, like, the voices they pick just fit perfectly, I think.
Yeah. The voice actor for this, for Guan Xitong is Hector Elizondo. Elizondo? I don't know. I don't know how you say his surname, but that's who his voice actor is.
Cool.
There we go.
Good deal.
Only credited with being Guan Xitong.
Really?
Yeah, as far as I could see from the Avatar Wiki, which I jumped on really, really quickly.
L.A., man.
There we go. I kind of have to read this line because I really like it. But it says, Guan Xitong is a pretty intelligent spirit with a tense Sasha Fierce side. I just love
the what?
That. Tense Sasha Fierce side.
Okay.
I really like that. So they submit their knowledge and everyone kind of has, like, their own kind of scroll or book or something they could actually really give. And Sokka submits a knot. were you kind of expecting him to, like, randomly come out with something that he had on his person that may have been some kind of knowledge, or were you expecting something a little bit silly?
I was expecting him to, like, have to panic for a minute, but I was pleasantly surprised that he was able to just, like, think on his feet and be like, I know this knot, I'll just do that.
Yeah, same.
I love that about Sokka, because he's just, like, he's the one who knows this stuff, you know? Like, he's the smartest one there, and, like, the others are like, okay, here's this thing, and he's like, well, this is the thing I actually know, and comes from my culture, so.
Yeah. I mean, Sokka's knowledge is a different kind of knowledge, I feel. Like, what he knows is very, very practical.
Yeah, it's like street smarts.
Yeah. He's very smart in a different kind of way to everyone else that we see. So I like Sokka's brand of knowledge. I really, really like it. Do you know what you might submit to Guan Xitong to be able to get into the library?
Huh.
My extensive collection of YA books.
I don't know. Maybe my, like... Oh, well, okay, I know what I would submit. If it had to be, like, something that I'm, like, really knowledgeable about, I'd probably give my... I have this box that I've had since I was, like, I don't know, 12 that I made that's literally a collection of all of my Will and Grace knowledge. Like, it is covered with quotes and magazines that they appeared in for, like, 5 years. So it just, like, speaks to the thing I know the most about.
I would have to revise my answer then and say Greek mythology, because I have, like, shelves of books about Greek mythology.
I actually have quite a lot on Celtic mythology stuff. It's either that or my Hawkeye collection of comic books, but someone will have to pry that out of my cold dead hands, I'm sorry to say. Like, I have a lot of comic books, but I think my most complete collection is probably my Hawkeye stuff. There's hundreds of dollars worth of comic books in that collection.
I'd probably just give him my Tumblr and be like, here, there's a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. you want to know about Fitzsimmons?
Just know you've got X-Kit turned on and blacklist some stuff you don't want to see.
No, hey, you know what? Pursuit of knowledge, man. It's all good.
Well, I was thinking, you know, Tumblr. Scroll, scroll, scroll. Ah, porn. Ah, scroll, 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 scroll.
It'll be good for him, okay? He just sits in that library all day, surrounded by foxes.
Oh my god!
The Tumblr generation, guys. We judge nothing except what we want. Why are we talking about that?
I don't know, but I'm like, I wonder if there's any fan fiction out there for that owl and those fox assistants.
Oh, no. Because there probably is.
There's probably porn for that owl and that fox.
Oh, man. Guys.
Link us, guys. Totally link us.
I'm gonna get you guys to talk about the next point, which is, and Karen has a really, really good thing for this. So he eventually turns on the gang and becomes what is quoted as evil here, but Karen has a really good point of topic for this.
Yeah, and this is actually something that really jumped out to me in this episode. And I know that when we talk about Avatar, we tend to get kind of silly and stuff. But I felt, and I mean, not to say that Avatar doesn't get deep sometimes, because it really does. But I definitely think this is one of those instances, because as I was watching this, I didn't necessarily disagree with the owl. I was actually seeing everything from his point of view, that they came into the library and tricked him into believing that they were going to take the knowledge and do good things with it, wherein Sokka, as sort of the leader of this little party, decided that he was going to get information to take in order to defeat the Fire Nation. And while I don't disagree that, you know, the Fire Lord needs to be stopped, I think that the way in which they did this was really deceitful. And I think that the owl had a point when he said that humans tend to use knowledge for the destruction of other humans. So I actually kind of saw our group of good guys as bad guys in this part, and not like the evil Fire Lord bad guys, but in a way that maybe what they're fighting to do isn't necessarily the right thing, that maybe they should be going about it in a different way.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think this is a gang messes up moment. I really, really do. And they pay for it, you know? I don't necessarily think they went in with that intention, but I do think that they had to be like, hey, you know, we need at least, like, it's his library, you know? And, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting. Does he tell them that, like, oh, that guy came here looking for that other knowledge? Like, and we realize that it's Zhao.
Yeah.
Does the gang know that? So, like, dudes, you know, they don't handle this right. And, you know, obviously you shouldn't have tried to, like, kill them. But, you know, you understand why, especially when you're dealing with spirits. And it's like, you don't mess around with spirits, guys. You know, don't.
Yeah. Did anyone else, I think I'm thinking of Karen specifically here, the parallels to the loss of knowledge, like the Library of Alexandria. Did you like the parallels between losing this library versus losing that library?
And it's so sad. Like, I was really sad that it got buried and that guy decided to stay down there. But you can't necessarily dispute where the owl was coming from, you know?
No, absolutely not.
So it was sad, though. And let me just throw out there that I'm kind of terrified of birds. And so this giant owl running after them was really freaking me out, even though it was just a cartoon. But he was kind of terrifying.
When we were getting to, and I'll kind of do it, when he started, like, chasing it, my mum decided to try, like, talking to my dad at that point. And my dad was like, shh, what are you doing? The owl is chasing them. And I was like...
Oh my God, Donya, could you please start your dad on the series?
Well, he's got my Netflix login, so he knows what Avatar is now.
Is it still on Netflix?
So, it's on the UK Netflix.
Ah, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we've still got it. Sorry, guys. So he has his own profile on my Netflix account, so I'll probably log in on there one day, and he's been watching a lot of Breaking Bad, so I'll probably jump on there and just be like, okay, he's been watching Avatar. He seemed to really enjoy it, and that for me, that was really surprising, because my dad is really not into animation stuff at all. So it was really interesting to see my dad getting really into a cartoon, because he really doesn't usually at all. So Sokka, kind of after stealing that little piece of charred scroll from underneath the glass, figures out through the planetarium that there is a eclipse coming, and there is one, because obviously they were rushed for time, there is one that will happen before Sozin's comet. Did you guys forget about Sozin's comet? Because it hasn't been mentioned for a while.
No, I feel like it's this big thing that's just been hanging over everybody's heads since it was mentioned.
And I keep bringing it up every week. I'm like, there is a deadline. He needs to learn, like, all of these elements. Because it's, like, it's definitely frustrating for me. I definitely bring it up all the time.
Do you think he's going to be able... Because obviously now that brings forward the deadline by... quite a lot. Like, they say it's in 3 months' time, don't they? Pretty sure I remember it being 3 months. They've got 3 months to make Aang a master of all of the elements to be able to beat Fire Lord Ozai when he has no firebending.
Yeah, I sort of feel like I don't know, but I wonder if like this is the type of thing that they kind of the creators kind of maybe were like, okay, like, I got to speed this up a little bit, add a little more urgency here. Like, I wonder if, I mean, I imagine that, like, the Sozin's comet was in kind of the first structure, but I wonder if, like, the eclipse and stuff was, you know?
So you think it was kind of added to speed the story up?
Well, I mean, if you just look at, like, the way Aang is behaving in the beginning of this episode, he's like, oh, yeah, whatever, I have it till the, you know, comet, it's cool, and then it's like, no, 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 you gotta do this now, you know?
So do you think that plan is going to work? Do you think that by the time we hit the solar eclipse in what is, what, 3 months' time, do you think that plan is going to work? Do you think that will end the war?
I think they're all going to die, so. You're welcome, Karen.
I no longer believe anything out of your mouth, so it's fine. Actually, what I think would be super ironic is if the comet came at the same time as the solar eclipse, so they canceled each other out, and then everything was just normal.
But then how would they take out the Fire Lord?
They would just have to fight normally.
Without any powers for any of them.
See my they're all gonna die theory.
They cancel each other out. So everything's just back to square one.
So they have a massive disadvantage against the Fire Lord.
Yeah.
Look. It's just a theory, okay?
But couldn't they just, they still, even if it's dark and the sun's being blocked, they could still draw power from a comet that's on fire.
I
don't see how they could cancel.
Absolutely no idea how that would work.
Yeah, I just don't see how they would cancel.
It was just a theory.
Now I'm really wondering if it was like a massive comet at the same time as a solar eclipse. Like, what would that look like? Would it be like the sun was like falling out of the sky? I might write a story about this.
That would be cool, actually.
Hey, it's day two of Nano, so...
Yeah, don't talk to me about.
Yeah,
about.
I don't want
to talk about. Grad school. I don't have time for no Nano. But good luck to everyone who's participating.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not doing it this year because I lose a chunk of about 2 weeks, so where I'm not going to be able to write. So I had to not do it this year, which is really upsetting for me. I love doing
it. I didn't do it last year, and I'm doing it this year. And well, no, did I do it last year? I tried last year, and I gave up. Like I think on November 6th. But it's November 2nd, and
that's
good.
November 6th is good, man. I gave up on like the 2nd last year.
So interestingly, we find out that Toph can't see very well on sand because it shifts so much. did you think, like, she could still kind of see, but everything was fuzzy. Did you think that was an interesting take based on, like, different surfaces that she stood on?
Yeah, I like the idea that even when somebody's in their element, they could still be at a disadvantage. And, I mean, it's a little bit different from Toph because she is blind, but I just like the idea that, you know, even if you're surrounded by the thing that you can control the best, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win the fight or, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it and a lot of different aspects that you have to be aware of in order to be a good fighter.
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me of when Aang was trying to learn firebending and how they said once it's released, it's hard to control the destruction that it does, and this reminded me of that. Like, there's a downside to every element.
Yeah.
The thing is with Toph and the sand, like, I really like it, theoretically, but part of me is like, why can't she just, like, make herself, like, a little earth platform, you know? And, like, not that that would give her a ton of vision around, but, like, for her own feet, you know? Like, why can't she turn the sand into, like, more solid stone? So,
well, I mean, she kind of hardens up like a very, very small amount of it to be able to stop the tower from sinking as quickly. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if on that kind of volume, it would be really, really hard to control it and keep it all solid, or whether if, because you'd have to think, like, how far down does that go? You know, would she have to be able to make it solid from, like, the level where she is, so ground level, all the way down.
And considering how tall that library was and the fact that it was buried, it probably goes down pretty far. So, yeah, I'm thinking there's just too much there for her to be able to control all of that.
Yeah, true. How badass was that, by the way? Like, her, like, literally saving their lives and they have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having to make that kind of decision as well. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so new to the group and she very clearly knows how precious Appa is, especially after the chase episode as well, to the group. And she has to make the decision between holding up that tower long enough for everyone to get out and those sandbenders taking Appa.
Yeah. I just need to, like, have a little sidebar because I wasn't on that episode. I love the chase. I love it so much.
It was a really good episode.
Yeah. Mei is my favorite character, FYI. And everybody's like, what? Mei? Why do you like her?
No, I think we all agreed last time that we all loved her.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't on, but I do like Mei.
Is she the emo one? I asked this last time. Okay, yeah. Then yeah, we all said we liked her.
Okay.
See, I kind of like Ty Lee as well. I actually really like all three of them. I like, as a group, I kind of like them.
I like Ty Lee. I don't have anything against her. It's just that sometimes she'll, like, do this stuff, like doing, not evil, but, like, doing, like, working against the good guys with, like, this little smile on her face. It, like, makes me so irritated. And, like, at least Mei is, like, a, you know, she's coming at them like a villain, you know, and she's like, I'm just going to take you out, guys. Ty Lee's like, oh, you know, I'm going to feed you ice cream after I completely paralyze you, you know.
That was a great laugh.
Yeah, I was kind of terrified.
I felt that we were talking to her.
Kind of find Ty Lee's attitude scarier than I find Mei's. Because coming at it where she's so sweetness and sunshine and then she will just obliterate you, it's kind of like such a flip from like one thing to the other and what you expect. That I think that's why I really like Ty Lee.
Yeah,
because well, it's so unexpected in terms of like her personality and her demeanor and everything.
Right. I mean, I think that's exactly why I like Mei more, because she's just a little bit more honest about it. You know, she's like, I'm just gonna take you out, like, you know, whatever, badass. You know, what are they called? Morning stars. Whatever those blades that she's got everywhere and that
kick
ass costume. I'm sorry, I Yeah.
I love May as well. Like, the three of them, like, together, I absolutely love them so, so much. Like, I think they're such a great group. They have such a nice balance between all of them. Like, they're a really well-rounded group and a really good foil for, like, the gang.
When do we see them again? I'm trying to look at the... Soonish.
Yeah, soonish. We already talked about Appa at the start, so obviously you have your theories. You think we'll find him again, that he's not gone for good.
Appa will return triumphant and hungry.
So we'll move on to favorite scenes. Karen, what was your favorite scene?
The helpful fox assistants, because I really want one.
That's so cute. Michal, what was your favorite scene?
I like Toph talking to Appa. Like, just those, like, little cuts to them. Yeah. Obviously, I love Toph, and I love that she's had this antagonistic relationship with a sky bison. And, like, now they're left alone, and Appa is so kind of... anthropomorphized that, like, it's a two-sided experience, and I adore it. And, you know, the way it obviously plays out in the end, where she wants to save him but she can't. And yeah.
Brittany, what was yours?
I really enjoyed Sokka's breakthrough in the planetarium, because I love any time that Sokka is able to contribute to the group in his own special way.
Yes.
And I just loved watching him figure it out and put in the dates and see that it's an eclipse, and everyone was kind of like, they weren't like, yay Sokka, but they were like, I guess you're right.
For me, man, mine was Wan Shitong buying absolutely none of Sokka's lies and eventually giving him the benefit of the doubt, because he very clearly doesn't believe a word that Sokka is saying, but still lets them go around the library regardless,
which really kind of again emphasizes, like, the degree of their screw up here, because it's like, you guys literally messed this up for humanity. Like, congratulations, you know?
Wow.
I mean, that's what it, you know, I mean, this is just the fact of it. And, you know, not to say that somebody else wouldn't have done the same thing, but, like, this is kind of a casualty of their, you know, the, like, path to taking down the Fire Lord. And obviously, from Wan Chitong's perspective, it's not worth it. Like, taking down the Fire Lord means nothing to him.
Yeah. Favorite lines. Karen, what was your favorite line?
When Aang said, "I've been training my arrow off."
It's a tattoo, baby. It's a tattoo.
Michal, what was your favorite?
Okay, so this is the heavy one. When Wan Chitong's like, you think you're the first person to believe their war was justified? Countless others before you have come here seeking weapons or weaknesses or battle strategies. And Aang's like, we had no choice. We're desperate to protect the people we love. And Wan Chitong's like, and now I'm going to protect what I love. And I think that just so crystallizes. This is not my favorite of, like, the season two episodes, which for the most part are just phenomenal. This is not my favorite, but I love that they take the time to really highlight this idea that, like, yeah, the good guys are the good guys, and, like, it, not that that's wrong, but from other people's perspectives, like, they might just be, you know, perpetrating more conflict and more war, and other people also think that they're suffering, and, you know, it really makes you think about everything.
You know, when there's war, both sides will do despicable things in order to get the upper hand. No one is kind of free from being able to get around that. No one is innocent in war, in terms of, like, the people who are really involved in it.
Speaking of which, Mockingjay is coming out soon.
Very true. Brittany, what was your favorite line?
Mine was when Sokka, it's his turn to choose where they're going on their mini vacations, and Sokka says, "Aang, I do believe it's my turn. I would like to spend my vacation at the library," which I wrote down, like, I was taking little notes to, like, you know, pinpoint where I wanted to return to in case I had a favorite line. And I wrote, oh, I want to spend my, oh, wait, he just said it. Okay, I'm going to use that as my quote.
Yeah. I love how he, like, had his arms out and they, like, froze it. And he was just like, at the library. It was so good.
Yeah. Mine was, at the start when they're all like, talking about going to the library, and Toph's like, they're kind of like, I've held books before and I gotta tell you, they don't exactly do it for me. And Katara's like, ah, yeah.
I actually really wanted to talk about this quickly because I know in our last episode, we talked extensively about Katara and Toph's relationship and the fact that Toph is blind and Katara may or may not have made a snide remark about it. And what I really like that they're doing here is that they don't let you forget that she's blind, because it's really easy to do that when she can sense so much around her. And like the part when she's on Appa and she's like, oh, there it is. And she's like, that's what it would have sounded like if we had seen the library. And she puts her hand in front of her eyes and they're like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it makes you a little uncomfortable, but I think that, you know, we just need that reminder that she really can't see without her bending. And I liked also in this episode that Katara seemed apologetic for it. So I don't know if last time in the chase that Katara really was being like singling out Toph and her disability. But I don't know. Just something else to think about, I guess.
I mean, oh, just to add in another shout out to Toph line, which was great, you know, which is like, there it is. And then like, what? And see empty desert. And she's like, that's what it'll sound like when one of you spots it. It's just, I love that.
Yeah, that line was so good. I was so close to choosing that one. It was, oh, it was a toss up between the one that I chose and that one. So
I have to remember this particular gift set that I saw a while back that like was amazing regarding this, but you can't see it till the end of the show, but I'll share it after. It's really, really amazing.
You totally need to share it with me though.
I think I probably reblogged it, so I'll be able to.
Amazing. You can just Facebook message it.
Yeah.
So I can enjoy it before we finish rewatchable. So jumping back just a tiny, tiny bit. So I decided to take the bullet for you guys. I went on Archive of Our Own to look up Wan Chi.
Oh no.
The good news is that there is no shipping fanfic. However, there are 4 fanfictions that feature Wan Chi Tong in the Avatar section on Archive of Our Own.
Interesting.
Well, he's an interesting character. I mean,
yeah. So there we go. But there is no porn, so.
You don't have to sound so disappointed, Danya.
What is it, guys? Rule 43?
I think it's 34.
34? Okay.
Only because I have this article open that I wanted to read that I saw on Twitter when we were recording, and it's None of This is New, an Oral History of Fanfiction. And it mentions it. Rule 34.
Okay. So, before we get into the listener feedback, I'll just give you our contact information again in case you do want to leave us a comment or drop us a line at all. And obviously we'll pick out some of our favorites to kind of go over. So our email address is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is @re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypable.com when the episode goes up. And you can also leave us an iTunes review. And this week, if you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, Karen will give you a cute as hell fox librarian as a pet.
But only after I get one for myself.
There we go.
Hang on. You're abandoning Fufu and the turtle ducks? My goodness, Karen.
I can have all 3.
Okay.
Okay, that goes on Archive of Our Own.
Oh, dear. We kind of touched on the first piece of listener feedback that we got from Hyperbole, which was from Rosalie David, who says that loving these podcasts. I'm rewatching the entire series again with you guys. However, is all the Katara hate really necessary? I get that not everyone likes her, but I also don't think the character deserves being bashed all the time. I like her because she's determined and passionate and an active member of the team. Yes, she makes mistakes, but that's because the creators have made a realistic character with flaws, not someone perfect. Rosalie, if you are listening to this episode, and I really hope that you are still sticking with us, despite, I guess, a little bit of the... I don't know if I call it Katara hate necessarily, but yeah, our kind of issues with Katara. I hope that what we said a little bit earlier in the episode addressed this a little bit and kind of gave a more of a broad spectrum on why we kind of get frustrated with Katara more than other characters. But again, if you want to address some of the stuff that we said, feel free to leave us another comment as well. And hopefully next week we might be able to address that again during the feedback. Then we've also got a comment from Yutru. I think I said that right. I hope I said that right. Who said, "Was smiling so much during the Zuko alone part that people were looking at me as if I were weird. Would love if you guys did Legend of Korra 2. So much discussion points that you need to watch Legend of Korra to get to. Or as an alternative, wait about 2 months or so after you finish the Atla rewatch to let the newbies catch up. Then have a discussion about Redacted for spoilers." I love that comment. I really do think I would love to come back and revisit Legend of Korra with some of these guys again, like a reunion podcast. I think that would be great. But I think it would be nice to do a couple of shows between it and then kind of revisit it after a little while. But it means, obviously, that the newbies will have to abstain.
That's going to be hard. About like a year. That's my thing.
A year? I have to wait a week to catch up on Appa. I don't know if I could wait a year to watch Korra.
This is true.
What was the gap between Atla ending and Korra starting? How many?
4 years, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was three or four. God. It was like they're going, how many years? Yeah, it was either three or four. But it was a long time, guys. So you can wait a year.
It's going to be a long time now, which makes me really sad.
I know,
sad.
But you didn't have, like, it wasn't, like, self-restraint. You had to wait.
You had no choice.
You don't have to wait.
True.
We also got an email from Daniel, which was, "Ari, what happened to Zuko's mom?" He says, "I haven't read the comics and I wanted to know the answer, but I was surprised that apparently the subject is still a popular one. I screencapped this on the day that the latest podcast came out, and what he sent us was a little screen capture of when you start typing something into Google and it comes up with suggested searches. And he put what and then H and A, and it came up with what happened to Zuko's mother as the first suggested search. But then he put underneath, because the last suggested search on there was what happened to Isaac on Teen Wolf. Which I thought was kind of funny.
He's in France, okay?
He's in France. He ran away with Allison.
And Appa. And Appa is also in France.
Everyone goes to France. They're in France. Unless you're Jackson and then you're in London. Because you have to be special. Last little bit of feedback. We've got one from Twitter from Zach.
Oh, can I just say one thing, though? I would not recommend Googling what happened to Zuko's mother, because it will sound dumb to you, okay? Read the comic. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, the comics are amazing. They are so, so good. But wait until you finish the series before you read the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust us.
There's so many rules.
But it's in order. I mean, the comics come after the show. So, like, there's a character who's not there, you're going to be like, oh, that character died. And if there's a character who's there, you're going to be like, wait a second, I thought, whatever, you know.
I feel like we should make a guide.
I'm sure we could do that.
Yeah. That just has the order in it.
Yeah. So from Twitter, we had Zach, who says, Azula needs Jesus, hashtag amen.
That's what Natalie said last episode, that Azula needs Jesus. And we were like, yeah, she does.
Azula needs a lot of things.
It's so true. And Peggy says, poor Zuko, Azula has always been crazy. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. What is it that Bruce says in the Avengers about Loki? Is it like he's like a bag of cats?
Yeah. You can smell the crazy coming off of him. Yes.
I actually thought you were gonna say, what is it that Bruce says? I'm always angry. That's Azula. Although, interesting thing, and this is another little thing that I love in this series, that Iroh goes like, it's the cold fire. So you kind of know that Azula is not necessarily, I'm actually wrong, she's really not driven by like rage in that way. She's so cold and calculating, you know, that she just, like, she's got that lightning down.
And I actually think that's it. I don't think I've got, nope, there's nothing more after that. So that's the end of the episode. Hopefully you'll tune back in next week. But for now, we'll see you again. So I'm Danya.
I'm Karen.
I'm Michal.
And I'm Brittany.
See you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.